You're listening to Sports and Life with Cameron Datsker, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome.
Hey.
I'm back. Hello. I'm back. A week back from the MUFON Symposium in Las Vegas, Nevada. Anyway, it was interesting. You know, a week ago I was in a room with all these people looking for a buffet. It was crazy. You know, people looking for food, a no-host seating, you know it was trouble. You know it was trouble.
Well, let's be honest. Okay, Cameron and I do buffets all the time.
Oh.
Am I lying about this? Cameron and I, in the middle of the week, we'll go like, hey, let's talk about the show.
Sizzler.
And the next thing you know, we're at Sizzler or with some other buffet having food, and we're like, what are we doing at another buffet?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't eat that much food. At least I'm not allowed to eat that much food.
Wow, buffets.
Buffets, yeah. I know. And we have the gorgeous Dina.
Thank you. Oh my God.
New play.
I have my play, The Italian in Me, and it's playing at Theater West tomorrow and Sunday.
I know, and you have to understand, Dina is absolutely gorgeous. She's a blonde with blue eyes. Dina and I have been friends for many years.
That was a Freudian slip.
Well, you know, I'm in the middle of a divorce with the husband. So, no, we've been friends for years. We met through another friend of ours, Sophia Milos, who's an actress. Or did we meet through Andrea?
Through Andrea.
That's how I met you and your husband there.
Yeah.
And she, by the way, Dina used to know Fellini.
Oh, wow.
Hello.
One of the best stories in the world. Oh, and then this is in her show.
It's in my show,
It's amazing. It's one of the best. She does. I've seen the show twice.
You knew Fellini? I got a story for you.
Yeah.
I met someone that was at a MUFON meeting that said she was very close with Fellini.
Okay.
And she's from a German background and told us the whole thing about how great her acting appearances and everything. Well, we find out that she couldn't talk on Fellini because they have a lawyer they hired. And the lawyer said she cannot talk about the family. So we had a whole thing at, it's a UFO thing.
Yeah.
And she couldn't talk about her relationship. And they don't want to talk with her. They don't want nothing. So I said, by the way, we will not talk about your past relationship. Which is a funny joke. Anyway, so welcome from
Thank
Phil Sokolov.
You from Phil Sokolov.
You're my first guest after coming back from a wonderful symposium.
He went to Vegas to go see MUFON,
to go look at UFOs and talk about what's going on in the universe.
I've had an experience. I'll tell you about my whole trip. But anyway, welcome to the show. This is 8 years and 9 years and counting. Coming 2018.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
and then
we
talk about your play, talk about your character, talk about how you get tickets. Anyway, I want to tell folks that it was a great symposium, and I met with the directors of MUFON. Now, when you meet with these folks, they look at you, and you look at them, and they were kind of scared about me. I don't know why. So we met them Thursday when I went. I went to Area 51. I'll tell you about that experience.
You did.
I went everywhere looking for news. But anyway, we went there. It was interesting what I found. I found a pyramid, when you drive that highway.
Yeah.
Moving pyramid. It was like the pyramid was moving.
Well, while you were driving.
No. The building was moving. And other people said the same thing. And what we think is UFOs are living in that building. Because it's kind of like off the beaten path, and the building is shaped like Egypt. All the way in Nevada desert, give me a break, it was like really weird. So then we're going back on that highway, where all you see is cattle, and they cross over on that open road. And then we see that pyramid going the other way, moving to the other way. Is that weird or what? That was a highlight of our tour.
Don't look at me. I was here.
I was here.
I was here babysitting 12 and 13-year-old girls for friends. So
I wouldn't do it. No,
I know. I didn't get enough money for it, which meant I got nothing for it.
Well, I was babysitting girls because
I'm a nice man and I love children.
Yeah.
Slow roasted.
That's what they said. But anyway.
That age is difficult.
Yeah, it's very hard.
Thank God. I love coffee. Yeah. And I know to a mall, find the coffee shop,
and let
them have mommy and daddy's money. Yeah, and I just kind of sit there, sit on my phone, talk to my friends, nice. And I'm good.
That's how you babysit.
So let's hear about the Italian in you.
The Italian in
Italiana.
It's Italiana. Italiana.
Si. You're Italian. She's that beautiful blonde hair and those blue eyes. Just like my grandmother had blonde hair and blue eyes.
Where are you from originally?
My ancestors, Calabria, southern Italy, Calabria.
What about you? Where are you from?
I was born in a little city called Thunder Bay. It was called Port Arthur when I was born there.
Where?
It's on the northern tip of Lake Superior, 30 minutes from the Minnesota border in Canada.
Wow.
And my parents immigrated from Calabria to this little place.
Uh-huh.
And I was born there and then went to Italy and then moved to Los Angeles.
So you speak you speak a couple languages.
I speak Italian fluently. That's my sort of my first language. And I learned to speak English. And then I learned to speak French at school. But my French kind of is not great.
So we're not going.
I wouldn't know the difference. So
we're not going to.
Neither will he.
We're not going to the free. But anyway, so tell us about your acting.
Yeah.
Now you're going to do this play. Were you in film?
Well, here's the thing. I lived in Italy and worked in Rome for many years, and that's sort of where I got my
You were a very famous actress in Italy.
I wasn't very famous,
you were
but
very
I was a
well
working,
known.
Successful actress.
Sophia said you were very well known. You were very, very prominent in Rome.
I worked a lot, and when stories happen to you in real life, you cry and you say, "Why did this happen to me?" And oh my God, this happened, and oh, I can't believe he broke up with me, or I can't believe I lost that job, and then suddenly years go by and you start telling stories, and then you realize you're entertaining people with the stories that you're telling, and people are saying, "Have you thought of doing a one-woman show?" And I say, "No, I'm not interested." And then another year goes by and I tell that Fellini story that happens to me, and then that other story that happens to me, and people are laughing like, "Have you thought of doing a..." So I just one day just started writing down all these stories, and then it just evolved and it became a one-woman show. But I write plays and short stories and monologues. And this particular, The Italian in Me, is basically a play on words, but it is The Italian in Me.
Okay.
And it is loosely based, but a lot of it is very true. But I have changed the names, except for Federico Fellini, to sort of protect some very guilty people.
Uh-oh!
Like the perverts.
The perverts.
Oh, yeah.
I like to say that it's The Italian in Me is perverts, priests, producers, and statues of saints, and then Federico Fellini.
Well, I love the fact that I've seen this play. Funny. I love the fact you're always ending up in church.
Yeah.
And your grandmother. Your grandmother was just, the story she tells about her grandmother.
Yeah.
And,
Nonna,
the grandmother. Oh, my God. Well, they don't know what a nonna is. So,
Nonna, my grandmother. And I do one funny thing in the play where I will say an Italian word and then I will explain it like a translator. Right. But they're usually words that are kind of funny, but they can also be people's names. They can just be whatever. Anyway, so I started doing this play, and it was one of those things where it just happened because of this Fellini story. When I went into, I went to Cinecittà, and I met Federico Fellini for a job.
Tell us about him.
Okay.
About the
well, the whole story kind of gives away the centerpiece of my play, but let's just say that in Italy at the time, Federico Fellini had just, I'll just to set it up for you time-wise, Federico Fellini had just won his Lifetime Achievement Award at the Oscars, career. So that was back in March of that year. And in July, I got this call from my commercial agent. So you know how people have a commercial agent, a theatrical agent. I had a commercial agent and I had a theatrical agent. But at the time, I was doing more television, not acting, hosting shows. And I was doing a lot of dubbing, and I was doing film. So commercials had sort of gone down for me, not because I didn't want to do them, because they didn't really pay in Italy at the time. And it's a lot of auditions and big cattle calls and stuff like that. So this lovely agent, that may she rest in peace, really liked me a lot. And she always kept calling me, and I kept saying, "Donatella, I don't have time. I don't have time." So and it's a numbers game, as you know, with commercials. It's do you look right the minute you walk in the room?
Right.
So I really didn't want to go. So I'm in Switzerland, or I think I was in Switzerland, and I was I got this message on my machine, and it was the assistant from her office, and she said, "Dina, call me. Federico Fellini wants to see you." So of course I didn't call her. Because I'm like, there's no way Federico Fellini wants to see me. What does he want to see me for? Yeah. She's not even a film agent. So I didn't return her call. True story. And so then the next day she goes, Dina, ma mi vuoi chiamare? Or, do you want to call me or what? Fellino wants to see you. So I go, this is a joke. Okay, let me call. Okay, her name was Simona, the assistant. I said, Simona, okay, what's going on? Why are you trying to reach me? She said, well, I'm trying to reach you for 2 days now. Federico Fellini wants to see you. And I said, but why does Federico Fellini want to see me? You don't do film. You're doing commercials. She says, no, he's doing his first commercial. He was doing his very first commercial. The three banks had merged in Rome, and it was called Banca di Roma, Bank of Rome. And it was this trend that they had started where they were getting famous directors to direct commercials. And his was this bank commercial. And so she said, yes, it's for the part of a blonde in a tree. I said, what? She goes, yes, she's just a blonde. She's in a tree, and she's blonde, and she has to be blonde, you know? And I said, okay, fine. And I said, this is for real, though. She says, it's for real. Yes, it's a Federico Fellini, a Cinecittà, you know? So I went back, and I had my audition. I got, you know, I went there, and I dressed up, and it was a big ordeal meeting, you know, going in to meet him. But then,
by the way, when you see this on stage, it's far funnier, and the way she dresses up in the
thing, like I can't give anything away.
I can't give it away, but there's a moment during this part she's talking about, I fell out of my seat.
Yeah, like I can't say anything because everything gives it away. But let's just say that in real life, I went to see Federico Fellini. I spent about an hour with him in his office. And from that, this story that I told people about my one-hour encounter where he became, and you saw it, think of these epic legends, and you think of these people that you think that they are going to be bigger than big and bigger than,
bigger than life.
And they're going to be so like, look at me, I'm a big director. And I'm, and he ended up being the opposite. It became like a confessional with me, a nobody. Mm-hmm. And here he is confessing and opening up to me about very like things that you would open up to maybe with a dear friend, you know, sitting at a coffee shop, like, hey, you know, hey, my life, you know, is kind of like that kind of a thing. And it was like, I can't believe he's telling me this stuff. Like, I cannot believe I'm sitting here and he's sharing this stuff with me. So that's sort of where it takes off.
Right.
And then there's other, that Fellini piece is the centerpiece of my show, but the beginning is her sort of trying to rise to make it in Rome. And then the third act is a very...
I love the third act. I love it when you're all...
I love the third act,
but you got to see the movie.
Oh, yeah. Well, by the way, one of the best lines in it is the advice he gave you about acting.
Yes.
I still think about that as... And I've used that line. Yeah. Believe it or not, I used that line and quoted you.
That's so funny.
With a client who's an actress who, and I'm going like, listen, I have a friend of mine who worked with Fellini, and this is what Fellini told her. She took it to heart and actually went to her next audition and got the part.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you who it is, but she looks fabulous on camera.
That's amazing.
I'm so proud of her.
Well, it is true. He was like this advice, you know.
Yeah, it's beautiful advice.
Beautiful advice, but in a very, you know, think he's going to be this thing.
So Italian the way
he
said it. So Italian,
but so soft and gentle and sort of who he is. But I do have another Fellini story. So there was a restaurant I used to eat in when I was living in Rome. And he used to come in there with his wife and other people. And he'd just sit there. It was a regional restaurant from his region in Italy, like northern Italy. And they make a lot of tortellini and tortelloni. And that's sort of
the, making us hungry right
that's
now.
Sort of the dishes from that region.
Uh-huh.
Not tomato sauce type food. Anyway, it was more like, anyway, tortellini in brodo. So he would go there a lot. And so I'd see him there. But one night I'm at a dinner with an ex-boyfriend, and we're in this big steak place. It was like a Florentine steak where they have big slabs of meat. Anyway, it was
I love that stuff.
It's just like real, like Tuscan.
Just a little olive oil.
With just a little
just
olive
so
oil.
So good, and I know.
Just big hunks of meat for your vegan audience. I'm
sorry. Vegan audience saying, what?
Anyway, but this is where we were, and this was the restaurant, and it was just packed with people. And so there I was with my boyfriend at this tiny little table, and right next to us was seated Federico Fellini and Giulietta Masina, and they were having dinner. dinner.
Oh.
And so suddenly these accordion players came, accordion player and a guitar player. They were Roman. Now they're like other nationalities that are playing the accordions. But back then it was still, you know, we're not even talking that long ago, but they were Italian. So these two Roman guys came in and they were known in the neighborhood and they started playing these folk Italian songs. And they're, come on, maestro, one for you. You never, I got to sing you happy birthday. It was his birthday.
Oh,
so
wow.
Everybody in the restaurant was singing happy birthday to Federico Fellini and the people were playing the instruments. So that was like this dining moment right next to Fellini. And then the last thing, I'm at church. In my play, I go to church a lot.
Oh, yes, she does.
And go to these different churches and pray for different things. So it was like this really, we all have them. We've all had them where you don't know where to turn anymore. You're just like in tears. And you're just like, oh, my God, what's wrong with my life? What's wrong with me? And it was just one of those moments.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said, today, I don't care. It's a Sunday. I'm going to church. I grew up Catholic, but I'm like, you know, whatever. I'm every religion. But I grew up, you know.
Yeah.
You know what
she
I'm
married
saying.
A nice Jewish boy.
I married a nice Jewish boy.
He was a wonderful man, by the way. She's gorgeous. The man is one of the luckiest men in the world.
Yeah,
and he is so... Like, your husband, I love your husband. Well, I'm friends with her, by the way.
And
I didn't expect her to be here tonight.
I didn't expect to see you.
I know, it's so good.
And
but
my,
she's gorgeous. Her husband is the sweetest man. Give Steve
and
my mom.
I will. And my next show will be the Jew in me instead of the Italian in me. But anyway.
We'll give that matzah. We'll have matzah ball night.
Matzah ball night. So then, last story. So I'm in this church, and I'm just, like, doing my own thing. I'm not, like, following the mass or anything, but I'm just, like, praying and... there's this person in front of me, and I'm right near the back, and this person was very little, a woman with a green moss felt sort of jacket on and gloves and a little hat, like right out of a different time and era. And I was standing behind this person but minding my own business, and the priest says in church, for those who go to church, says, now turn and shake somebody next to you and give them a sign of peace. So I'm standing there crying, like just thinking about my poor life, poor me. And suddenly this little woman turns around and it's Giulietta Mazzina, Federico Fellini's wife. True story.
My God.
And she goes, peace be with you. And I went, oh my God. Like, and to me, like Giulietta Mazzina and Federico Fellini, that's it. Like, I just think of those two people in the arts as artists, as pure artists.
Pure artists.
Pure artists.
Pure artists.
Yeah, pure.
The way they did things, the way she acted.
Yeah.
I love the way she performed because there was a natural... There was something so innocent and natural and raw about the way she performed that was so beautiful. You didn't have... My Italian's not great, but it's good. So when I'm watching an Italian movie in Italian, because I'm Italian. So when I'm watching an Italian... Obviously, it's an Italian. I'm talking with my hands.
He's got the hands and everything. He's ready
so,
for pizza.
But, you know, when she's talking and she has this natural ability to just kind of pull you into a role. I've actually forgotten I was watching a movie, watching her... On camera, speaking a language I don't speak that well, but knew every word she was saying.
She's wonderful.
Amazing.
She's a lesson for every actress to watch because she's obviously what her husband's advice was. Like, she didn't have to act. She was just Giulietta, and she was just that person.
Beautiful.
And not really like... And if you think about it, he was... Women in his movies, a lot of them had like... And especially his drawings. He was an artist. A lot of voluptuous, big butts. Mm-hmm. He loved butts. He loved breasts. And then his wife was this petite little...
Lady,
very, you know, not a fake thing on her body. Just, you know what I mean? Just little, just like...
His vision was different.
His vision, yes.
Reality.
Oh, yeah. Well, she had those eyes that would draw you in. And I think that's probably what attracted him in the first place to her. Because she could, when she looked at you in camera, like your camera, and you're looking at her through a television screen, she would literally draw you in. I think she's passed away by now, hasn't she?
She did. She actually passed away.
Recently? A couple years ago?
No. She passed away a few months...
after him?
After Federico.
Yeah.
But see, she just pulled you right in. Like, boom, you would look at her eyes.
Yeah,
you weren't looking at her mouth. You weren't looking at the English underneath the things. You just were, boom.
Just watching her.
Yeah, she pulled you in. That's probably what made him go like, I need to have you.
Anyway, what I was going to tell folks is we're talking about a brand new play in Los Angeles.
Well, let
tell
me
us where it's playing at.
Quick. It's playing at Theater West.
Okay.
Theater West is on Cahuenga Boulevard near a bar between Barham and Lancashire. It's the oldest continually running theater. It was started and founded by Betty Garrett and some other very big legends of Broadway, and it's in its 55th year. This is a fundraiser we're doing for our theater, and we are having six or seven solo shows. It started last weekend with Paul Dooley, the veteran actor who's been playing a father and plays. It's called Movie Dad, and because he played so many fathers and dads in movies. And then I'm the next one up, and then we have other shows coming up, and there are so many wonderful shows. And mine is this weekend, Saturday night, 8 p.m., Sunday at 2 p.m. matinee. And it's funny. It's only 70 minutes. It's $25 in advance, $30 at the door. All the money goes to Theater West because it's for our little nonprofit theater, which is a wonderful theater that has nurtured a lot of artists. And it's a great little space. And if you go online, www.theaterwest.org, you will find all the other shows. And I'm sorry, I don't even have a brochure
with me.
That's all
right.
By the way, Dina is fantastic. This show is hysterical, fantastic, and wonderful.
Thank
you. It'll be the set, by the way.
She's gorgeous to look at.
And Sunday. Saturday and Sunday.
And Sunday's matinee?
Matinee at 2, which is a good time if you don't want to go. You know, if you have something tomorrow night, Sunday matinee is.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Oh, by the way, Dina's a fabulous cook. Hint, hint. And hint, hint.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying here, right?
By the way, they have some nice restaurants right by.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, they have fabulous restaurants on
Mikado, which is right there. It's wonderful. I love the pork tacos. They're amazing.
My God, speaking of vegan.
Yeah.
I eat vegans. I've dated a vegan.
Oh, wait. We're getting a phone call from back east. So hold on. Okay. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This must be Ken Pfeiffer.
Hey, Cameron, how you doing, pal?
Pretty good, Ken. Just got back from the MUFON Symposium.
Tell me about it. I want to hear all about it.
Well, actually, I had a fun time, and I met Jan. And Jan would
Oh, yeah, Jan Harzan. Yeah.
I was his media guy, and I got to meet a lot of people. And we had a table, and it was funny. You know, I didn't know it was going to be an open setting, you know, when they have these open things. And we had Richard Dolan at the table. So Richard Dolan was there. And then Mike Sala, he was there. And then they had some, you know, people that were, you know, famous MUFON. You know, they part of the 69 creation of MUFON.
There are a bunch of, there was a lot of icons there, you know, people who are the leading authority on UFOs. I believe they were at the conference. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, and we have people from Virginia who you probably know. He's the you're the head of New Jersey and also Portugal and also back.
Vermont and Rhode Island. I'm state director for them, but I wanted to go, but. I'm waiting for MUFON to invite me to do a photo. I can do like a 2-hour photo presentation that would knock your socks off. But maybe next year.
Well, next year it's going to be in Philadelphia. So maybe you'll be.
Oh, terrific. That's good to know. I'll be sure to.
I'll go next year to Philly.
I'll be sure to talk to Jan Harzan, and I could do a. Easy 2-hour. I get thousands of photos and with stories and everything else. So that's great. I didn't know that. I didn't know I was going to be in Philadelphia next year.
Well, that's going to be in Philadelphia. And also, I was going to mention. I don't know if you heard my little story, but I talked about going on Area 51 and the pyramid.
Yeah, you saw a pyramid object or something.
The pyramid was moving. It was on land-based land, and I noticed cattle. You know, they have cattle open land. The cattle.
Oh, yeah, they're walking all over the place, the cattle are.
Yeah, so what happened was we were seeing this pyramid, then it's slowly moving towards the road, and then when we get back, it's disappeared. So it was really interesting.
You know, that's the extraterrestrial highway.
Yeah, it was very interesting. And then we go to the famous restaurant. They have no gas
station. Oh, yeah, in Rachel, Nevada, the Alien.
Alien, yeah. And then we go there, bar. That pictures, and then no gasoline. So my cousin didn't fill up, and we were going on fumes to go to what's it? The next city up, and then we had my cousin was driving.
The next gas station was probably about 40 miles away. I'm assuming
100 miles, and we went to a city.
That's funny.
Got gas, and then when we're going, they had an alien ship coming up. Through Rachel, very interesting what happened, and I knew that place If I went at night, I wouldn't have seen all this. We went during the daytime. And it was just amazing stuff. And I know there's a lot of activity going on there. And it was really
Did they take you to the front gates, I'm assuming?
No. No,
but not toward the so-called the black mailbox, but actually the mailbox is white.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We went there. But you know what? You know what's interesting is that next time when I go, I'll get my Homeland Security and be able to see it. Call them a couple of days and see it. That's what I hear. But it was an interesting trip. Got to meet a lot of people that I didn't know too much about, and I met, you know, like I said, Richard Dolan and other folks, and it was nice. The only problem is, when they run the thing, it was just so many people. You know how many people they had? Close to 5,000 people. So,
oh, I'm surprised.
Yeah, they had a nice turnout. The only problem was, I don't like, you know, I at a buffet or whatever it was, I like to sit at a table, not to be going to someone else's table. That's too weird for me. And then the food, they ran out of the food the first time, and I go, okay. Where's there something to eat?
I don't think they expected that many people.
No, and it was interesting at the end. And then, you know, like I said, Saturday I went to Area 51, and then my cousin got a little scared. I go, don't get scared, don't get afraid. She saw, you know, when you go there, the skylight, it's like opening up like heavens. Unbelievable stuff that we saw.
Oh, that's cool. Now, Rachel, when you were at the little alien there in Rachel, Nevada, you were like about a quarter mile away from the road that goes to the back gates of Area 51. That's where me and my wife had that encounter back there.
Yeah, now tell us about your encounter over there, because I knew you had an encounter with an alien.
Yeah, strange noises, ear-shattering noises is what our encounter was. But no, you were right, the back gates are right there at the Little Alley Inn, about a quarter mile. I was surprised when I found that out, but sounds like you had a good time.
Yeah, it was good. I would go back and maybe take my troops. John Michael's ready to go to Area 51.
Well, I think Area 51 would be great. You know, I would totally am looking forward to being...
abducted,
you know, and you know,
and I don't think you want to be abducted.
Well,
you know,
as long as they buy me a cocktail, I'm fine with the anal probe.
But you have a cocktail at the alien.
Well, you know, we're good with that.
And also, I was going to mention,
and if I get kissed in the morning,
you know what? You know what they also are doing? They're taking nuclear waste. This is kind of important. From all the countries of the world, they're storing it in Nevada in a place I would never. The people are very upset. Do you know about it? About the nuclear waste?
Yeah.
No, not about the Nevada location. No.
Well, when we were there, they had all these signs called the Mercury Project. The Mercury Project is taking the nuclear waste and hiding it in the mountain and waste. So people go up there, they'll light up. They'll light up like the mountain.
Wow.
And this is stuff people don't know about, and people in Nevada are very upset about. My cousin who lives in Henderson, Nevada, told me what's going on. People are fighting. And it's just been a big problem over there of disclosure. And now what's going on is the government's trying to disclose.
Well, that place they actually cut that thing open 20 years ago. And they've been complaining about putting all the nuclear waste there for quite some time. We've got to put it somewhere.
Yeah,
and it's actually
called,
one of the safest places.
What is the place called? It's a famous place. Over
yeah,
there.
It is, and it, but it's
like
cut
it.
Right
into
the line. It's yeah, but it's cut right into the limestone. I mean, it's cut right into it to protect us from as much waste as possible. And there's natural lead in the ground, so that's why they chose the spot.
Wow, but what do we?
That's incredible. Yeah, I don't know if you guys realize it, but there's caverns and tunnels all over the earth, thousands of miles of tunnels and caverns and special storage areas all across the United States.
Now, I had a question for you. Now, you had some UFO sightings when I was gone.
I got some California stuff here that
tell us what's going on.
I'd like to tell you about that. Let me see. I think it was July 15th here in Apple Valley, California.
Oh, that's Hesperia.
Yeah, July 15th. The statement says here, I had just lain down on my bed. It was still somewhat light out. It was dusk, and I reached up to turn on my radio while looking out my open window. Something strange above the house caught my eye. It was dish-shaped, had no wings, no running lights, and had a strobe light on its domed top. Just as I realized it wasn't a commercial aircraft, it took off in a flash heading due east and was gone in a matter of seconds. I spent 4 years in the Navy, and And took many a lookout watch night and day, reporting anything moving in the sky. I know it was a solid object, gray in color, shaped like a classic flying saucer, inverted pie tin with a dome top. I have witnessed abnormal lights high in the daytime sky in this area and in the past. And this was also observed by four of my neighbors. So I know what I saw, and it was real, and either a secret U.S. aircraft or something out of this world. So that was one of the sightings on July 15th. How far is Apple Valley from you guys?
Apple Valley is a good hour and a half on the when you go up to Las Vegas. It's not far from Vegas. It's really like a border town. And they want to put gambling. There's talk of gambling in that area in Hesperia. To put gambling. So cool. Very interesting you say that.
Now did you see the photos I sent you?
Yes, I saw the photos, and it was just amazing. The different
photos. That's the one here. It only take a minute. I can tell you this sighting here. This was June 10th, Laguna Woods, California. This was a MUFON case file. And I sent you the photos, and they look kind of strange. And it says here on Friday, June 10th, 2017, at 5:15 p.m., it was a cool evening, not a cloud in the blue sky. I was sitting on my back balcony in Laguna Woods talking to a friend facing east. While gazing at Saddleback Mountain, I noticed a shimmering metal object in the sky and thought it was a plane at first.
Okay.
As I kept my eye on it, I realized that it was too vertical looking to be a plane, so I grabbed my binoculars to see what it was. Mm. While looking through the binoculars, I saw a pulsating red light coming from within the center column of the object. Couldn't see the red light without the binoculars, so I decided to grab my DSLR, digital single-lens reflex camera, take a few shots of it and look at it through my viewfinder. Uh-huh. The object moved out of view before I could grab my tripod to get better shots, which is telling me that this object wasn't like a balloon slowly moving across the sky. This thing must have been moving a lot faster than that, since he didn't have time to take photos, once he got his tripod out. But the consecutive shots show that the object was changing in appearance, and I believe rotating in circles while moving west in a straight line across the sky towards the ocean. So that's the one that came from June 10th, Laguna Woods, California.
Wow.
It's a very interesting case file here with MUFON.
Well, Laguna Woods, so everyone out there knows, is right by Laguna Beach.
Yeah, I know.
Real close. So was there anything going on when the MUFON meeting went on? Was there anything? I saw a few things happen over our hotel.
So was there anything
going on in
Vegas?
Vegas?
Yeah, was there anything in Vegas last weekend?
No, not that I know. I think there was a couple things, but it's they weren't really worth mentioning. Just lights in the sky or something like that. A lot of times these things could be possible meteors. But part of my theory is some of these things that we think are meteors may be alien craft entering our Earth's atmosphere.
And
nobody's ever really thought of that before, and that's just one of my theories, that I think a lot of these shooting stars could be UFOs entering our atmosphere and glowing as they come down Earth.
Wow. Now, another thing I wanted to mention to you, maybe you know, about the Eisenhower Initiative. It was brought up at the MUFON meeting. What's going to happen?
Oh, yeah.
What's that?
That's an issue where basically the public wants the government to disclose of all the UFO stuff.
Oh, you mean where Eisenhower met in Southern, Air Force Base?
To disclose.
Where he met them?
Disclose of all...
Okay.
So, what do you think?
I think basically, once Eisenhower met with the aliens and we did some reverse technology, reverse engineering on some of the craft they have and some of the information we got from the aliens, believe it or not, I think at that point in time, Eisenhower realized that we can use this technology, these things that the aliens told us to make the world better. We can use this to possibly save on using too much oil. We can use this as a nuclear type of a thing for electricity. The initiative was to make the world better with the technology that we got from the aliens.
Well, like I said, was there any other sightings that you have in California?
There was. Let me see here. There was another one here in Lakeport.
Okay.
Lakeport, California. That was, let me see, the date here was June 24th, a few days ago, Lakeport, California, around 9:30 p.m. And this was a few days I have been eating and cooking outside to be more with the environment. I look up in the sky and see a bright light. I heard nothing. Usually I can hear planes. There was no blinking lights from my point of view. Normally I can even see satellites blinking as they are much further away than this was. I tell my friend to tell me if I'm wrong, but I think I see a UFO. He starts to agree as he witnessed the same as mentioned above. This object was unlike anything my mind has seen, very quite quiet and not a perfectly flying straight heading north out of view. After we caught pics and video, we decided to watch with our own eyes, and for this may not have happened again, because, you know, this probably would have never happened again. So they decided to take some pictures and videos, but they didn't disclose the pics and the videos to us, to MUFON, so I have no idea what they look like. What? But continuing, we also decided to call out to it and put up the peace signs.
Okay.
We felt stupid for not doing this when it was directly above us. We had a sense of awe. That feeling started to dissipate. I pleasantly freaked out. This was not a plane or anything I have seen. The object looked as though it may have been an object, but it may have been, thought it may not have been an object, but it may have been bright lights of several colors and a moment of combustion, possibly, but the array of colors was magnificent, possibly a craft with a triangle around it, but not connected at the edges. It reminded me of movies about star travel where the small ship had to align with an object to achieve a faster rate of travel, but I just can't explain it all. I doubt anyone knows what I saw, but after I saw several planes, even a jet fly by, then 5 or 10 minutes after that I saw the weirdest thing, another low-flying plane, maybe military with bright lights carrying something that seemed to be a normal. Maybe to some, though, really odd to me, especially that it was the first time I have ever seen something like this, and it was right after I saw the UFO. So she had two experiences. Apparently, they saw the UFO, and then later on, they saw some military planes flying in the area. So,
interesting.
I would send you the video and the pictures, but I do not want to hand over the rights to it. So,
right.
They may be good, you know, if they're worried about rights, copyright laws and all that, then this video and photos may be very good. But then again, I get a lot of people, you know, say, they send photos to me and say, yeah, how much is this worth? And you know, I tell them to look at my website, worldufophotos.org. I got 11,000 of them. And, you know, I doubt if you'll be able to better any of the ones that I have. So a lot of people are very, you know, they think these things are worth something, but quite frankly, they're really not.
Well, that's true. And even in Nevada, I went to a town, you know, I was in Summerlin. A lady said she had an experience, but how much will I buy the photo for? I go, what? So it was that type of, I understand what you're saying, because I had that experience in Nevada. Anyway, Ken, thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate you coming next week. If you're available.
Anytime. You need me, pal, you give me a call.
We want to talk about East Coast sightings and the world, so we'll do that next week. Thank you so much. And, you know, Ken, by the way, Ken Pfeiffer has websites. Give us a couple of your websites so people can follow you.
So worldufophotos.org. I got over 11,000 sites. Worldufophotosandnews.org. I got tons of case files. And the other one is KenPfeifferDiscoveries.com. I got discoveries on the moon and Mars and a lot of other places. So check them out. They're pretty good.
Thank you very much, Ken, and next week we'll check in with you, okay?
Okay, my friends. You have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you so much.
Bye, Ken.
Bye, Ken. That was John Michael. Thanks. Anyway, boy, what a week in UFOs. He's our UFO person.
Expert
on sightings. And there's been a lot of sightings. Italy, they had a sighting.
Well, they had lots of sightings. No, in northern Italy, there's a guy who can't seem to – he always takes photographs. He is the only person, every time he puts his camera out, there's always something.
Yeah, something going on. Here, we got Bernadette, another Italian.
Oh, Bernadette.
Wow. We got another Italiano. Bernadette, welcome. Let's see what we got.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Hey, question. Do you speak Italian?
Excuse me?
Do you speak Italian? Parla italiano.
I do not speak Italian. I can cook some amazing Italian.
Well, I make love like an amazing Italian. Ask any one of my boyfriends.
Oh, God.
But,
okay. We'll have to have a taste of there sometime.
we're back, and Bernadette's going to do, you're going to do your tour. You're going to do your, soon you'll be ready to tour around L.A. She's a metaphysics. She's also a life coach, like John Michael. And you do some other stuff, right? That
I do.
Yeah, see?
And yeah, tour around L.A. sounds amazing, right?
Yeah.
Who doesn't love L.A.?
Well, you know what we got to get you? You know what I heard? Nevada. What? Nevada needs people.
Nevada needs people.
The shows.
Well, let's do a show.
I'm ready. I got my networks.
Let's get Judy. And
then you guys are on the run.
What's the name? Judy. They always did those the shows. You know, it was Judy and Andy. I can't think of his name.
Andy Cohen?
No. But those old movies from the 30s. I can't think of it.
Funny.
It was Judy Garland and
Mickey Rooney.
That's it.
Roadshows.
That's what it was.
That's it.
Oh, God. Thank God I'm pretty. Yeah. That's all I got going for me today. Remember, I've been with two 13-year-old and two 13-year-old and two 12-year-old girls for almost a week.
Just get married.
I'm brain dead.
Hey, you were.
That's a handful.
Oh, one thing I was going to mention: we saw the Fundamentalist Mormon Church. On our way to, we were in a town in Nevada. They're still there.
Well, yes, and you can have multiple wives. And incest is fine.
Yeah, incest is fine over there. Ick. Yeah, yeah. But you know what's interesting? They live in these real horrible
conditions.
And the girls, I'd say, 16, 18, 19. These older men are walking with them, and it still goes on. I couldn't believe it. My cousin, I've been taking you to a city that has unusual things.
Yeah, but see, they're like first cousins, or they're like daughters marrying their fathers, or their uncles, their grandfathers, and it's creepy. And
we need a psychologist.
Not only that, but they've got they won't let the doctors work them because there's so many inbred diseases happening up there.
Right.
And these girls are indoctrinated into this lifestyle that they know nothing else, that they don't think it's wrong, that God has made this possible. Yeah. And it's like, It's like slavery.
What is slavery?
It is.
You know? And the boys are told to work, not to have an education, and the girls are the same way. So there's what I saw there was all these people moving in trucks. So I think they were going to Arizona, Boulder. Is it Boulder City?
No. It's south of the. I know exactly where it is. There's a border area where they're going. It's just south of Utah because they're not legally allowed to be in Utah. But there's a section in Arizona,
Colorado City. Is
it Colorado City?
Colorado City.
That they're allowed to be there because it's so close. Like it's almost reservation land.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the Indians have rented it to them and allow them to be there, but they really can't leave that area. So there's no real laws. It's kind of creepy and disgusting.
It was an interesting trip, for sure.
And I'm open-minded about a lot of things, but don't touch children.
Well, yeah.
Children, never. If you're consenting, that means consenting age. You know, and whatever you want to do, love whoever you want to be totally happy whatever. But, you know, when it comes to loving relatives, that's a little on the... No, that's genetically inappropriate. you know
that we adopt the beliefs that work the best for us most often, right?
Right.
You adopt those beliefs and you become a part of, you know, the lifestyle that fits the mold. And when you can incorporate that with a doctrine, why not, right?
Right.
So, like you said, these little girls, and you know, bless their heart, because they know no different. They must espouse to their environment that is ruled by those who really don't allow them any education outside of that. So, a form of slavery and abuse. Yes, I would have to agree with that.
It's a big
man. Education for these girls.
You know, and the thing is, it's not really educated.
Well, enlightenment.
It's what the grossest thing about this whole thing up there. It's almost like, you know, the people in, there's so many cults
right.
that abuse mm-hmm. children. And they're right. so easy to be abused. And they're so easy to be taken advantage of. And, you know, I love kids. I've spent a lot.
You spent a whole weekend.
I've spent an entire week with children. But I love
See,
kids.
See, it's good for kids. If you have kids.
I really, really like kids. And, you know, if I could have had children, my husbands could have gotten pregnant, I would have totally had kids by now. But
well, you can still have children.
No.
You just got to get the husband married, the Hawaiian. What was that Hawaiian? He's available.
So the thing is, I think it's horrible. I think it's right. horrible. No one, children should have a healthy, anywhere right. in this world, children should be raised
healthy.
They right. should have food. They should have healthy water. Right. They should have good education, no matter what that education is.
Right.
They should be taught whatever values that is a healthy value right. for themselves.
Right.
It's not my judge to. It's not my place to judge what their values are, but it's also not their lifestyle to judge my lifestyle either.
One thing I was going to do because of time.
We have to leave soon.
Say another thing out there. What about the transsexuals not being allowed to go to the military? It's been a big issue.
I don't know. I mean, honestly, I don't want to be in the military. I never wanted to be. I've dated a few guys in the military. God, do I love a Navy SEAL. And, but that's a whole other story.
You know,
not just what I love.
I don't understand.
I love a SEAL and I love a Ranger.
I do not understand what the problem is if someone is transgender and they are fit and
right.
athletic and healthy and want to serve, what is the problem?
Well, not only that, here's the thing. How many years, here we go, through all of us.
Problem?
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Not just that. Here, what gets to me is it took forever for blacks to be mixed in with whites.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't allow blacks to serve true military fashion until World War II, World War I. Then you had to have Truman mix the blacks with the whites. And oh my God, the world's coming to an end.
Yeah.
Then finally gays were invited. Finally right. women are allowed to fight. And well, give it time, like everything else, because people and their idiocy, they have to grow up. They have to grow forward.
Right.
And it's not our job to judge the idiots that are out there. And eventually they'll let it through. But I had a friend of mine in Arizona. He was he ended up being the mayor of Tempe, Arizona. And he was actually kicked out of the military for being openly gay. He was one of the first people right after Don't Ask, Don't Tell who came out and got kicked out because of it. They found some technical reason to kick him out.
Wow.
And super great guy. I've known him, Mary and Joseph, 30 years, 40 years at this point. But he just, I got to tell you, this is just stupid, yet again stupid. You look to places like Israel.
Right.
Every one of my girlfriends who are Israeli have fought as hard as the men. They're all military.
They all have to.
And you were in the Israeli military. This is why I bring it up. In America, women are just as tough as women as men, if not tougher. I'm telling you, I am not strong enough to have a baby cut out of my body. Women can do that. They can take more pain than I can. Because there's no way that I would actually want to have something come out of my body like that. If a woman can do that, she has ovaries. Not balls. Ovaries. They're tougher than we are.
Oh, boy. Okay.
So let's be honest.
Wasn't it Betty White that made the analogy about the women's, you know,
oh, yeah,
areas.
Yeah, exactly. Well, here's another thing that always gets, as I get on my high horse about this, here's another thing that always gets to me about this whole thing. You look at people are people. And the only thing I see with the transgender problem is the amount of medications they have to take. Some of those medications make them extremely ill. Now, I used to own a gay bar in Arizona, and I used to have several nights during the month that we had transgender nights. Now, and the transgenders, some of the medications they take can cause them problems, but that's not a big deal. Once they're past a certain point, it doesn't make them sick.
Right.
It's usually during the point of doing the transing. And I mean, I don't keep up with it all the time. But it's not a problem. It's a thing now. We are getting more enlightened in this country, have been for years. Instead of being what it took hundreds of years for the blacks to get in the military, it only took, 20 years for the gays? It's going to take maybe 5 years for the transgenders. And we have aliens coming.
One thing, because of time, I apologize, John Michael. But I want to talk one more thing about
it. Yes.
Bernadette, by the way, could be available.
I got on my horse.
Bernadette's phone number is 512-902-5377. Is that right?
That is right.
So people could see you, make appointments in Austin, Texas. So if you're in Austin, you got to see Bernadette. Bernadette will be here soon. We'd love to have you in studio. And I want to give kudos to this wonderful play. Give it one more day.
Okay,
one more.
It's
we got 30 seconds.
The Italian and Me, written by Dina Morrone. That would be me. And it's playing at Theater West, 3333 Cahuenga Boulevard West in Los Angeles. And it's this weekend, Saturday and Sunday.
Any thoughts of Broadway?
I'd like to take it to an off-Broadway theater. And I was just in New York over the July 4th weekend, and I looked at 7 different small theaters. I'd like to get it there.
Because I have a feeling it's going to go...
You've got some Broadway. Good connections. So I think you can make that happen.
I think maybe.
It's going to happen. Anyway, real quick, next week we're going to have some folks I met at the symposium. And then we're trying to get Slash to come in to talk about his experience with UFOs.
Okay.
From he's going to come in.
Slash?
Yeah, Slash.
From Guns N' Roses. He has
one other thing I was going to mention.
Wow.
If you want to see her play, call. What do they call?
Call Theater West, which is 323-851-7977.
And by the way, Bernadette, thank you so much.
Guys, it's always a pleasure. I love talking to you.
Anytime. We'll see you next week. Next week we're going to talk about all different experiences. Okay, so we'll see you next week. Okay, so Bernadette will be back with us, John Michael, and then we'll have some others. So thank you so much.
Bye, guys. Love you all.
Bye.
Anyway, let's say goodbye to our guests. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you so much.
We wish her lots of success. Fill up that theater for the fundraiser. Is there anybody, by the way, could we donate?
If they don't want to come to the show, they can always just donate to Theater West.
Donate,
say it's for my show, but it's all going to Theater West. So Theater West, Cahuenga Boulevard.
Excellent.
Very good.
Excellent.
And that was it.
That's it.
That's it for tonight.
Bye, guys.
And bye-bye, everyone.
We'll see you next week.
You're listening to Sports and Life with Cameron Datsker.